We continue our reading from Luke's Gospel, and we are in the middle of the Passion story. Last week, we saw Jesus crucified, and today we find him dead and buried. Let us hear the Word of God from Luke 23, beginning at verse 44. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now, when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breast. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now, there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. Let us pray. Gracious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, we say together every Sunday that our Lord Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried. But while we have much to say about the fact that he was crucified, about how his death on the cross brought us the forgiveness of our sins, our salvation, truth is, we don't really have much to say about the other two assertions in that clause, that he was dead and that he was buried. But what if the fact that Jesus was not just crucified, but also dead and buried, has something very important to tell us? And not just about what Jesus did for us on that day, but also about what we can be assured Jesus will do for us when the day comes when we too are dead and buried. I mean, if so, that would be a very profound and powerful reassurance, because truth of the matter is death frightens us. It frightens us quite a bit. Not least because death is such a mystery to us. In that way, it's much like birth. I mean, truly, we begin and end our lives in mystery. We don't know exactly what it was like to take our first breath, and we have no idea what exactly it's going to be like to take our last. And the first we don't remember, the second we really dread, care not to think about. And while science can tell us the bodily facts of both birth and death, it tells us little about the experience of our souls in either. And so we fear death. Actually, there's 101 reasons why we fear death. But what if the fact that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ experienced death himself is able to tell us all we really need to know about dying and all that we really need to possess for our fears about death to be greatly eased? Our passage says Jesus Christ really died. He was really dead. He wasn't sort of dead. He was not mostly dead. He was not dead in a divine way that's different from the human way. We shall one day be dead. He died our death, is at heart what that creed says. He died our death. Which means at the simplest level that what we will one day go through, Jesus our Lord and Savior has already gone through before us. That where we shall one day be, he himself has already been. And even more than that, what that means is the great biblical promise that because Jesus has died our death, Because Jesus has already been where we shall one day be, therefore we can be assured that he will be there with us when we die. He has been where we will be. And therefore we can trust, say the scriptures, that he will be there with us, for us and beside us when our death comes. And that is the strongest antidote to our fear of dying I think we could come up with. I mean, if Jesus is going to be there, then in ways we can't even yet imagine, we know it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Paul says nothing can separate us from the love of God, not even death. Jesus, who has been there before us, will be there with us when our day comes. David says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Jesus, who has been there before us, will be there with us when our day comes. "Where shall I go from your spirit?" says the psalmist. "Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up to heaven, you're there. If I descend into Sheol, the land of the dead, you are there." Jesus, who has been there before us, will be there with us when our day comes. And as a child is comforted and made unafraid by the presence of mom or dad in the midst of a fearful night, so we shall be comforted and made unafraid by his presence with us in that last fearful night. The fact that Jesus has died our death means we no longer need to be afraid of our dying. He's going to be there with us. We're going to see his face. We will hear his voice. We will know his touch. And we should be comforted as he leads us through that valley of the shadow into life new and eternal. I think that on the whole, we need to be, as Christians, rather wary regarding accounts of life after death experiences. We have to carefully consider the source as well as what is revealed, because they are often medically as well as theologically questionable. But Henry Nouwen, who was one of the great teachers of our day, the great teachers of the spiritual life, he gave us something that I think we can accept and trust because of his deep faith and because of his own pre-death experience. And the story is this. Nouwen was walking beside a busy road one day, and the passenger side mirror of a passing vehicle hit him, and he was seriously injured, rushed to the hospital, rushed into emergency surgery. And that initial surgery went well, or so everyone thought, but it wasn't too long after that Nouwen began failing rapidly, and the doctors discovered something they'd missed the first time around, that his spleen had been badly ruptured. And they told Nouwen, quite frankly, that he was in great danger of not making it. And Nouwen decided, as he stood there with this news so forthrightly given to him, he said, as they were prepping him for a second surgery, he decided that since he was standing on the portal of death, he would enter it. He would enter it and look around and consider the possibility that his life would be ending very soon, and consider all the fears about it, and to meet them all head on. And this is his testimony to what he experienced. It's the experience of a deeply Christian man in the face of death's imminent possibility. He said, "What I experienced then was something I had never experienced before. It was pure and unconditional love. Better still, what I experienced was an intensely personal presence, a presence that pushed all my fears aside and said, 'Come, don't be afraid. I love you.' A very gentle, non-judgmental presence, a presence that simply asked me to trust and trust completely. It was not a warm light, a rainbow, or an open door that I saw. It was a human yet divine presence that I felt, inviting me to come closer and to let go of all my fears. My whole life had been an arduous attempt to follow Jesus as I had come to know him through parents, friends, and teachers. I'd spent countless hours studying the scriptures, listening to lectures and sermons, reading spiritual books, and Jesus had been very close to me, but also very distant. A friend, but also a stranger. A source of hope, but also of fear and guilt and shame. But now, when I walked around the portal of death, all ambiguity and all uncertainty were gone. He was there, the Lord of my life, saying, "Come to me, come." And death lost its power and shrank away in the life and love which surrounded me. Because Jesus was dead, as we shall one day be dead, we can know, we can truly know that the promise of the 23rd Psalm is real. That he who has gone before us will meet us in that valley of the shadow of death, and we won't be afraid. And that in fact we need no longer be afraid of death even today. Where we shall one day be, he has already been. And where we shall one day be, he will on that day meet us there. And it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Such that we, like him, will be able in that moment in faith to say, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." But there's more. Because Jesus was not just dead, he was also buried. What does it mean for us that Jesus was buried? Buried in a tomb, a great stone rolled across the door. I think one of the best places to look for the meaning of his burial is in the hearts and minds of the women who planned to go to the tomb after the Sabbath was done in order to properly anoint his body for burial. There wasn't time after he was taken down because the Sabbath was coming. Actually, though, I think we can look in the hearts and minds of everybody who was there on that day Jesus died. The centurion who exclaimed that Jesus surely must have been innocent after what he had seen. The crowds who had watched the spectacle, as Luke puts it, who then went home beating their breast in repentance and in sorrow. And the women and the followers of Jesus who stood at a distance during his crucifixion. Because the one thing that all of these people had in common on that day Jesus died, on that day Jesus was buried, is that they were certain the story of Jesus was over. The end had come. That it was now all over, finished and done. The death of Jesus had to be the final word on what had been for a time something rather extraordinary and promising and hopeful. All of them alike believed that the ministry and mission of Jesus had ended in failure. Because dead is dead, and buried in a tomb with a large stone rolled across the opening means just an exclamation point upon that. It's over. It's all over. There's no hope left. It's the end of the story. But they were wrong, weren't they? Now, I know that thought leads us rather quickly to the joy of the resurrection, but let's not go there yet, next Sunday. Let's stay a little longer in that seeming hopelessness, that seeming end of the story, that despair of Jesus being not just dead, but buried in a tomb, exclamation point, it's over. Because as death did that to him, so life often does that to us, doesn't it? Buries us. Buries us in a tomb. It's not just death, but life that can bury us in a tomb of despair. Stick us in a grave of anguish with seemingly no way out. It's not just death, but life also that can bury us in sorrow and in hopelessness and in loneliness and in sickness and in grief. a season of depression, an encounter with disease, the shock of some disaster, dead ends, desertions, divorces, denials, losses, piling upon losses. And then there we are with those women gathering their ointments, just convinced that our story's over. We've reached a dead end. There's no way out. There's no hope of a better tomorrow. Buried in a tomb of our own despair, just as Jesus was buried in a tomb hewed into stone. But again, because Jesus has been there too, buried in a tomb, so we can be assured that he will always be with us in our tombs. It can be hard sometimes for us to sense his presence in the darkness of the tomb, because the darkness of what we are going through can seem so dense and so overwhelming. But that Jesus knows the tomb means that he will always find us in that darkness. He will always find us and come to us and be with us in our living tomb. We do not die alone. Jesus is with us. But neither do we live alone. Neither do we suffer or grieve or hurt alone, because Jesus is always with us there too. He knows what it is to be buried in death, such that he will come to us and find us whenever we are buried in life. I came across these words years ago. They've meant a lot to me through the years. It's from a sermon by the post-war German preacher Helmut Thielicke, and he's preaching, no doubt, into the hopelessness and despair of the tomb of post-war Germany. He says, where we are too weak or too much in despair to reach out for the eternal hands, they hold us fast, catch us when we stumble. They reach out to us as they did to Peter when he was sinking into the waves. They reach out to us even when everyone else forsakes us. And they cradle my head when I can no longer do anything but groan. And death itself not dare come between us. I am that safely in his possession. I have been given a security that shelters me now amid all turmoil, and that will still be with me in the future when the eternal judge lays his robe aside and tells me as my father, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. But it's even more than that. It's not just that Jesus is with us in our living tombs to comfort us. So also, as the tomb does not hold him, so it cannot hold those who are with him. Jesus made a way out of the dead end of his own tomb. And Jesus is the one who will make for us a way out of our living tombs, that dead end of our own. And Jesus, he even has the capacity to make of these things we suffer, these living tombs we go through, to make of them a growing place, a place of renewal and rebirth, a place of new strength that is born out of our very weakness. Jesus will lead us out of that living tomb of despair into a new day. There will be a new day. There will be a new joy. There will be new life, new hope. What we suffer in life, what we suffer not just in death, but in life, it'll never be allowed to have the final word over us. The final word, as in all things, it belongs to God. And that word is grace. And that word is overcoming. And that word is God's power made manifest in our lives, even and especially in and through our suffering. Stephen Hayner was a pastor professor. He was president of our Columbia Theological Seminary in Decatur, Georgia. And he was diagnosed with a very serious form of cancer, which in the end would claim his life. But he and his wife, Cheryl, kept a daily journey through this land of cancer. And the journal was later published after Hainer's death with the very telling, and I promise you, very truthful title as you read the journal, Joy in the Journey. Because amid all the sorrow and suffering, fear and illness of that living tomb of cancer, they indeed found God's gift of tomb-defying joy. And this is the entry from the day right before Hainer began his first chemotherapy treatment. He had been reading that morning from J.B. Phillips' translation of the New Testament, and specifically Romans 5, 1 through 5. Let me read you Phillips' translation so you can hear what he was reading. Since then, it is by faith that we are justified. Let us grasp the fact that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Christ, we have confidently entered into this new relationship of grace, and here we take our stand in happy certainty of the glorious things He has for us in the future. This doesn't mean, of course, that we have only a hope of future joys. We can be full of joy here and now, even in our trials and troubles. Let me repeat that verse just because you'll hear it again. We can be full of joy here and now, even in our trials and troubles. Taken in the right spirit, these very things will give us patient endurance. This, in turn, will develop a mature character. And a character of this sort produces a steady hope, a hope that will never disappoint us. Already we have some experience of this love of God flooding through our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us. All right, that's Paul writing to the Romans. Having read those verses, this is what Hainer then wrote in his journal day before his chemotherapy began. He said, these were great verses to wake up to this morning. Life is lived in the grace of Jesus through and through, whether the grace is obvious in our immediate circumstances or not. Jesus is at work in our lives. God's good is always being done, and we always continue to grow and to be transformed. I realized this morning that the next chapter of this journey is the scariest part for me so far. It's easier for me to think about dying than it is to think about feeling sick all the time or having the quality of my life and ministry thoroughly compromised. There are so many unknowns that come with chemotherapy. But full of joy, here and now, even in our trials and troubles, that's where I want to stand. Because Jesus Christ knew for us the tomb was buried, even as we are sometimes buried by life, this is precisely where He enables us to stand in life and in death, full of joy, here and now, even in our trials and troubles. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was not only crucified, He was dead. And He was buried so that His grace should find us, comfort us, raise us up and deliver us in all things and in all places until that day when we too are raised up from the dead with Him, by Him, and for Him, to live beside Him forever. Amen.